Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. That's Monique Richardson. She's one of our worship leaders and family members. She's singing about El Shaddai, and I'm going to be talking about that. I asked the Wednesday night team of ministers to graciously let me have a little more pulpit time, because weren't they doing a great job? Did you guys give it up for the team? On Wednesday night, so you'll still be hearing from them, but I think I'm going to like preach two on, maybe two off, or one off, or something like that. But I wanted to get the content of More Than Enough. It's a devotional that Pastor Simone and probably Sarah will be helping me get published here in the next few months. So you'll get this in your hands, but you're going to get a lot more in the series than you would in just the book. But it's called More Than Enough, and I felt so compelled to write it the probably 6 months before Pastor Rick had his stroke. And the Lord was, he was already working in my heart and preparing me for last year, for all of you, for myself, because last year was a humdinger for the whole world. And we were really tested in our faith to trust God. And so I saw that the word works in my life all these years since I first surrendered my life to Christ. But more so when, you know, lean times are coming and the economy's starting to struggle and people are losing their jobs and they're closing churches and, you know, my husband's in a vegetative coma, and he was our provider, my primary source of income. So I want you to know that these messages ministered to me all year last year. I kept going into them, and I kept reading them, and I kept thanking the Holy Spirit for how timely he is and how he will take you into passages and that you've read before and you've heard preached before, and he will take those and write them anew upon your heart and make them rhema. Not just the logos, the written word, but the rhema word of God, the revelatory word of God, something that will cause you to stand just strong through whatever winds of adversity blow in your life. So tonight is the second devotional in the book, and it's called Never Empty. Lord, we just come before you right now. We ask that your word would sit down in our heart and that it would do exactly what I said, bring rhema, revelation that will cause these loved ones to never falter, no matter what they're facing, especially in the area of provision. In Jesus' name, amen. So I told you recently I have been enjoying Psalm 23 in the Passion Translation. We all love Psalm 23. It's a common psalm that is preached or read at memorial services, at homegoings. But I noticed this out of the gate, and I've said it every day last year when what I was going through was happening. The Lord Yahweh El Shaddai is my shepherd. I shall not lack. That's King James. But in the Passion, it says it like this: Yahweh is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. I want you to say that. Yahweh is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. And the reason for that is because he is the God of more than enough. In the footnotes right there, there's a footnote in that shepherd. And the word most commonly used for shepherd is taken from the root word ra'ah, which is also the Hebrew word for best friend. This translation includes both meanings. The unique term for shepherd is rotzen, lover of the flock. This teaches us that a shepherd was not just a responsible overseer, but a caring father figure, tending to his flock out of a deep sense of love. Shepherds were also fierce protectors of their flocks. Jesus is the fierce protector of his people. And I want you to know that there's so much poetic revelation there, but it's true that he is the fierce protector of the flock. That I lack nothing statement in New King James and some other translations where he says, I will always have more than enough. That's a wonderful declaration over your life. I want to encourage you in this season when you're facing shortage to say that. I lack nothing. I lack nothing. Because the more we look at what we don't have and the more we talk about what we don't have, that's what keeps showing up in our life. Because what we talk about comes about. And so to never be in lack, always possessing more than enough, our God needs our faith. It's who he is, but we don't get anything appropriated into our life without faith. That's what brings it in, right? But knowing that he's our fierce protector and knowing that he meets our emotional, physical, spiritual, relational, and financial needs is something that we must always keep in mind. And just because we're having a moment where lack shows up doesn't mean that we'll live a lifetime of lack. Why? Because the devourer comes. That's why it says in Malachi that when we tithe, he, God, Daddy, Yahweh, he rebukes the devourer for our sake, right? Because he looks at that and says, they have a perfect record of obedience. I'm going to rebuke the devourer for their sake. Because he has no reason to be here. He doesn't belong here. So I have always, just looked at that anytime there was lack and fought the feelings of doubt, the feelings of fear, the reality that it's there with the word of God. And I always come back to Psalm 23, 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Say that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. So it's essential. And as I begin to teach you on this name of God, which is more than enough, El Shaddai, I want to keep reiterating that because throughout the devotional, that is the one thing that I believe helps us through every season of temporary lack, is knowing not just the word, but knowing the character of God and knowing the names of God and what that reveals. So it's essential to have a revelation of the names of God that reveal the nature and character of God when the devil begins to mess with your head with regards to provision. How many of you have him mess with your head with regards to provision? So I use Jehovah Jireh, say that, Jehovah Jireh, which means my provider. And then the other one is El Shaddai. Amy Grant did a song years ago, El Shaddai. Remember that song, you guys? It was on Caleb and all that. And I thought it was so beautiful. I learned to sing it, but I didn't know what El Shaddai meant. So last week, I began to go over these two names. El Shaddai is a compound name. El, meaning God Almighty, is the all-sufficient, all-bountiful one. Shaddaim means breasts, representing the one who nourishes, supplies, and satisfies his people with abundant blessings. The God that is more than enough. And last time I preached, I talked about how when a mother gives birth to her baby, the supply shows up. The breasts fill up. Shaddaim means the many-breasted God. It's sort of a female connotation to God, even though he's male, but it's to show that he is the one that nourishes and has the supply for every child. The mother's womb is full, and her breasts are growing, but the supply does not show up until the moment the birth takes place. In fact, she'll get in pain if she does not start releasing that. Amen? So that's just human nature. And so God is looking for his children not to be bashful, but to think about, latching on. It's a sign of dependence. It's a sign of need. Yes? And so many times we go to other things and we make other things our source. And I make this quote to myself all the time. Verna, man is not your source. God is. Amen? I want you to just say your own name right there. Say it out loud and then say, man is not your source. God is. See, we got to learn to talk to ourselves. And there were many days that I got up and I said, Verna. I don't call myself Pastor Verna, by the way. Verna, this person is not your source. God is. And as good of a provider as my husband was, and I love him, God God blessed him to work hard and to be a good provider for our family, and I appreciated everything he did. But without God supplying him with strength and skill and the ability and the time and the breath in his body to go get it done, nothing would have happened. So ultimately, everything we get comes from God. And I gave God the glory. And so when he went on to be with the Lord, I was like, Brenna, Rick is not your source. God is. He never was. And I want to encourage you, even while you're young, to thank God for everything that comes to you through others. But believe me, they are not your source. God is. Because people will leave your life. Sometimes people will die. Sometimes people will betray you. Sometimes they'll pull their funds because they were only manipulating you with them. Hello, somebody started laughing. Been there, done that. I got the double G face from Miss D back there. Okay, but you know, we've been there where you've got the cons and the people that are trying to get some from you, and they're throwing the money at you until you put up your boundaries and you say no, and then all of a sudden, you know, they're out the dope. Yeah? But here's the thing. God provided for the children of Israel. And we have all of these stories how he provided for the children of Israel, the children of God's beloved, God's chosen. And everything we see in the Old Testament is a foreshadowing. It's a telling. It's a revealing of God's nature and how he provides. Their clothes never wore out. And those people whined and complained and were out there for 40 years. This was supposed to be an 11-day journey. 11 days. 40 years. Through the wilderness. And their clothes never wore out. They never went a day without food, water, or clothing. And in fact, many people have researched what the manna actually was. It looked like a little coriander seed, but it was filled with every kind of nutrient they needed for their bodies. And they didn't know that, so they start complaining, wanting meat. You don't think God can pack into one little seed the protein you need as well without the grease and the having to kill it and cook it and clean it and do all that to it? And they started moaning and complaining. And so the Lord and Moses even said, well, if I drain the sea and if I caught everything in the sea and then I slaughtered all the animals that you have, you know, blessed us with, there still wouldn't be enough food to feed all these people. So what he's saying is, if I drained all the resources in your earth, you know, in the earth that you've put us here on, if I did this and I killed all the animals and I went and hunted and I went and fished and I just drained everything that I could find, there still wouldn't be enough to feed all these people. And the Lord said, I have meat that you know not of. And he began to fill the camp with so much quail that it was 3 feet deep as far as the state of Texas. You could drive across the state of Texas, and they ate until they were vomiting. Some people see that as just, you know, God's overwhelming provision. He was actually upset about that. He was letting them know, this isn't all up to you to have to go and mine everything out of the dirt and out of the caves and out of your flock and out of the ocean and everywhere else. I have supply that you know not of. And I am quite capable of showing you what I can do. And he caused a wind to whip up, start to come from another direction. I wrote a devotional one time called, The Winds Are About to Change in Your Favor. Amen? One change, one turn, one shift by the wind of God's Spirit, and things can start to show up in your life just like that. Amen? So we got to live by faith. And 2 Corinthians 5:7 says this in the ERV. I like that. It's called easy to read version. Like easy. We live by what we believe will. Do you see that word will? We live by what we believe will, not might happen, not by what we can see. Not by what we can see. And so our war many times is, I see this, but I've got to live by what I believe will happen. Amen? So all over the room, I want you to say, I believe what I need from you, God, will happen no matter what I see. See, you got to start learning to talk like that, because the enemy is listening to your talk. And what you say is either going to give God something to work with or the enemy something to work with. Amen? So do not fear when the wrong people leave your life. Believe that the right ones are coming, and they will come, because El Shaddai has more than enough people to come alongside you to help you fulfill your destiny. You can clap for that. And do not fear when you don't get the wrong job. You know how many times I prayed and I thought I was going to get the right job, and it was the wrong job. Simply believe that the right one is coming, and it will come. El Shaddai has more than enough opportunities to take care of you for a lifetime. Amen? Do not fear when people, places, or things are removed from your life. Believe that God is directing your steps, and he has more than enough of everything you need to get you to where he's destined you to go. He has people lined up for you just waiting to help you on the next leg of your journey. It may not look like they have what it takes to help you, but if they are obedient to his word, he can perform a miracle through anyone's faith. He is never going to take you anywhere with anyone that doesn't require faith. Amen? And so I'm going to read a story to you in a moment. This is the context story, but God provided for the prophet Elijah through a widow in a town called Zarephath who had only a handful of flour and a few olive drops. This is a few olive drops. This is not the big bottle of my favorite garlic olive oil from Costco. How many of you like that one? I like that one. And I get kind of desperate when I'm getting down to work, like, and I'm like, oh no. But she had, all the chefs in here are like, we understand, right? That spray stuff is just not, it just doesn't work the same, right? The spray stuff. But she only had a couple olive drops, and it was her last meal. This is how dire it was. It was her last meal before she and her son would die of hunger. There was such a famine in the land. Now, think about that. I just want you to get this in your head. I don't want you to skim over this story. All right? Hold your hand up and look in your hand and look at the palm of your hand and think of that's all the flour this woman had. Okay? Right there in your hand. Now hold out your other one and listen. There's your olive oil. And you got a kid to feed. A boy. Okay? And no one else has any food. I'm trying to set this, the tone of this. So God, Dad, El Shaddai, the great provider, the fierce protector, decides to send her another man to feed. The man of God. And he tells Elijah, he gives him a word, and he says, go to this woman and tell her, give her instructions, but she's the one that's going to supply you, man of God, during a famine. She's going to supply her boy that only has one meal for her and her, you know, her son left. She's going to supply you with enough food to get you all through the famine. Go tell her that if she'll obey your instructions, that her jar of oil and her, or jug of oil and her jar of flour will never be empty. Now, let's pick up the story because I have some thoughts about this. But I just want you to see how insane God appears. Hello? I want you to understand he doesn't think like us. And he doesn't do things the way we do things. So in 1 Kings 17, we find the story. There was no rain. So after a while, the stream became dry. Now, you got to understand, Elijah is by a stream right now, and he is burnt out. He is in physical exhaustion. He has called fire down from heaven upon the prophets of Baal. Jezebel has been destroyed, his archenemy. She had it out for him, was going to have him killed. He is exhausted. He has run from her, and he's out by this brook where God told him to go lay his hiney down and get some rest, and that these ravens would come and feed him. Go lay down, and these ravens will bring you food from heaven. So he's a prophet. Prophets are strange, and they believe things and do strange things. So he went out there, and exactly what God said was happening. He was getting sleep, and every time he'd wake up, the Lord would put him back into sleep, and he'd eat a little bit and go back to sleep. Some of you, I just say, some of you need to just eat a little bit and go to sleep and just rest, okay? But now the stream's drying up, and there's not going to be any more food. So the Lord tells him, go to Zarephath in Sidon and stay there. There is a widow there that I commanded to take care of you. Listen, it's easy to trust God when he sends you to wealthy folks, right? It's easy if you go to Uncle Donald Trump's house, right? It's easy if you go to Mr. John Gish's house because he will definitely cook for you. I don't know where they find all that good food, but you will be well taken care of, right? But here's the thing. It's more difficult to trust God when he sends you to someone with a handful of flour and a couple drops of oil. What it requires is that you depend solely on the word of God. Because there's nothing left here but the man of God with the word of God in him going to this place that looks desolate and desperate and like there's not enough. But he's got a word, and he's got the potential for faith. He's got the potential for obedience. And, you know, it takes a lot of faith to have someone walk up to you and say, I know this is all you've got left, but I want your offering, and I want all of it. How many of you had God, like, start to press on you when you're down to the bottom of the barrel, and he always puts a need greater than what you have on hand, and I'm getting the amen, Pastor, up in front of you, and now you're being required to give. I don't know why he does it like that. So Elijah went to Zarephath. He obeyed. He went to the town gate and saw a woman there gathering wood for a fire. She was a widow, and Elijah said to her, would you bring me a small cup of water to drink? As she was going to get the water, Elijah said, bring me a piece of bread too, please. The woman answered, I promise you, before the Lord your God, that I have nothing but a handful of flour in a jar and a little bit of olive oil in a jug. I came here to gather a few pieces of wood for a fire to cook our last meal. My son and I will eat it and then die from hunger. Again, it's easy to trust God when he's aligning you with people that have a big bankroll. People that are living on Easy Street. It's harder to trust God when everyone around you appears to only have a last meal. But I can tell you this, God does his greatest miracles when man's resources are low or almost gone. If they have a word from God, and here's the good news, we don't have to wait for prophets to wander up into our house. We have the written word of God, which is an entire book of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That book right there has more promises on provision than you could chew and digest and memorize for a lifetime. But I want to encourage you to grab a hold of one. This woman, she didn't need 100 promises on provision. She needed one from someone who was anointed to walk up in her house and tell her, if you'll do this, God will not only meet your needs, but your vessels will never be empty. So I heard some clap for him. Go ahead. Praise him. Praise him. Amen. That's our promise. So Elijah said to the woman, don't worry. Love the song tonight. Don't worry. Tap your neighbor, look at him and say, don't worry. Don't worry. See, that's a word from God right there. Don't worry. I love it. And then, so the first thing he says is don't worry, but now you got to do something. So in other words, clear your head. Stop stressing. And then the next thing, go home and cook your food as you said, but first, here we see the first fruit. There's so many people that are disobedient in this area. I had to learn this. I used to hate this message when I was afraid of tithing. Like they're talking about money again and giving and all this stuff. Listen, God is never going to try to manipulate anything out of you. He's trying to teach you principles. If all you have left is some lump of something, make sure if you need more, which obviously you do, that you take a first amount and give it to God, because he's not going to take it all. Notice that. He says, like, first you make the man of God, which represents the word of God, which represents Jesus, right? Give what little bit you have to him, take the rest, and then the miracle starts to show up. Why? Because that's the law of first fruits right there. First, make a small piece of bread from the flour that you have and bring it to me. Then cook some for yourself and your son. The Lord, the God of Israel, says that jar of flour will never be empty and the jug will always have oil in it. Watch. This will continue until the day the Lord sends rain to the land. In other words, for the entire duration of the famine, you will be the one that always has more than enough. Amen. So the woman went home and did what Elijah told her to do. She went home and did it. I don't know what God's telling you to do, but every time in my life, after I got this right, that I wouldn't wait until it was, you know, that dire. But anytime things were starting to break down to the degree where I needed something, for instance, a car. I needed a car. My car was dying, a slow and painful death. And I worked at a car dealership, but I didn't make, you know, a ton of money. And I was like, had three kids and all of them in sports and all those expensive things that, you know, our children, we want to give them. And my car was breaking down. And I did not want to go in a ton of debt to get a car. And I've been praying about that. We already had the mortgage and all of that. So one day the Lord said, you need a car? Give a car away. And I'm like, but God, if I give my car away, then I won't have a car. And he said, you work at a car dealership. And there are pots out on this pot lot in the back that are going to end up in the junkyard, and for about $400 or $500 worth of parts, because I knew people all over the place, my first husband and I were in the car business, you could have a car at least spruced up enough that it would run for another year or two for some single mother or somebody that has no vehicle. Well, we were right at the holidays, so we were going down into Butler's camp, our church, to do an outreach where we were taking gifts to all the children over there. Those of you who know about Butler's Camp, you know what I'm talking about. It's just filth. It's just drug and alcohol infested, and little children just run through there unattended, and a lot of the mothers are in prostitution and stuff. So we go down in there to do this outreach, and we're knocking on doors and handing things out, and I get to this one house, and I realize there's something different about this mother. She just had a sweetness about her, and she had about six kids in that house, that little trailer. And my heart just became overwhelmed with compassion. And she was telling me that, you know, sometimes she barely had bus fare to get to her job, and somebody there in the park was, like, watching her kids for her. And that if she only had a car, you know, things would be so much easier for her. So I took her name and her number and everything, and I said, you have a valid California driver's license? And she said, yes. And I said, I work for a car dealership, and I have been feeling the Holy Spirit pressing on me to sow a car into someone's life. Now, you got to understand, my car is dying a slow and painful death. So I could have very easily spent that $400 or $500 on getting my own car fixed because there were a few parts that I really needed. And I would have had to spend a little bit more to get it fixed. But I decided to obey God. And so we gave her that car. I mean, it wasn't great, but it ran. And she was lit. And so she started attending the church we were going to. And I don't know what happened to her. I lost track of her. But within about 2 months, God gave me an almost brand new Ford Explorer. Yes. Without a car payment. Okay? So I want you to know that that became a principle in my life where when I want to, even when I want to upgrade, are you listening to me? Tonight, God, it's not just about being at the bottom of the barrel. I believe God wants to give us the greater things. And I have found that whenever I see a need, it's not just for me to pray about, it's for me to sow a seed. Because that always comes back into my life, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So the woman went home and she did what Elijah told her to do. And Elijah, the woman, and her son had enough food for a long time. The jar of flour and the jug of oil were never empty. This happened just as the Lord said through Elijah. And I wanted to encourage you with that. Worship team, you can join me. I'm not going to go on and on. It's a short message, but it's a good reminder. I had, and I want you, if you're still struggling in this area, to shift your thinking. Because I used to get into such fear and go, how am I going to do it? How am I going to do it? You know, I was like Moses. If I fished all the fish out of the sea and because I start counting everything I've got. And I believe it's good to count the cost. I do. I believe it's good to see what we've got and strategize. But never negate or eliminate the God factor. Amen? Because he's the God of more than enough, and he has provision that we know not of. And when a great need shows up in your life, it's not time to go like this and close your hands, which is a tendency, right? We close our hands. Mama taught us, honey, we've got a great need. Y'all go through your clothes right now and thin them out. Sometimes she'd do this before school started because we all needed new clothes. We all needed new things, right? And we would be like, Mama, we're down to hardly anything. And she said, go thin everything out. We're going to find somebody else to give to. Because if y'all want the best, by the time school starts, you're going to need to give away some stuff. Okay? What do I have on me, in my person, that I can take some of and release? It's not our initial inclination to think these things, right? We're like, I have a little bit. I have to manage this really well. I've got to hold on to this really tight, and I've got to manage what I've got. It's a natural thing. It is supernatural and counter-natural to say, things are lean and I have a need. What do I have here that I can take some of and sow for a kingdom purpose? And I have learned that since I changed my thinking, when a need comes, it's time for a seed to leave my hand. Ever since I learned that, I have never been upside down or experienced what I call the bottom of the barrel. The Lord has made me the top and not the bottom, the head and not the tail, the supplier and not the drainer. Amen. The one who has overflow coming through my life. And I thank God, money comes to me and it goes through me. Amen. I say it all the time. Lord, I thank you that large sums of money come to me in ever-increasing quantity on a continuous basis from all kinds of sources, right, that I can sow. And some of it I get to keep, praise God, but I can sow. And as I sow, I continue to grow and grow and grow and grow. And God gets the glory. Amen? You can work your whole life and sweat your whole life away and not experience the kind of increase that I'm for work. Trust me, I'm not for being lazy and letting somebody else take care of everything. I'm for work. Work is spiritual. Work is God-honoring. Work is a blessing. It's how God gives us the power to get wealth. Amen? But you can work your whole life and toil and stress and worry and skimp and try to manage and scrape and not live the prosperous, pleasant, and joyful life that God promises to those who serve and obey him. Amen and amen. Go ahead and stand to your feet. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, just say it out loud. Thank you, Lord. You know what I need. Love the song tonight, Sarah. The songs were picked perfectly. Why should I worry? Why should I worry? God knows what I need. God's not worried. Amen? Lord, we thank you tonight for salvation, the number one need of mankind, that our souls would be saved from hell and damnation and destruction, and you provided for the greatest need in the universe. Thank you for the sacrifice of your son, Jesus Christ, Dad. And I pray that anybody who has never made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you're listening to me and you're under the sound of my voice, he loves you. He would have come all the way from heaven and gone through what he went through just for you. Don't reject him. Receive him by faith. That's all it takes. You're not joining a religion or having to do some kind of ritualistic hard thing. You're receiving Jesus who loves you, who is the promiser of all of these good things. You know who that was that spoke to Elijah and told him to go and do all that? It was Jesus, the Word, the Spirit of God, before he manifested himself in the flesh. And he's talking to you right now, and he's saying, I know you have needs. As long as you live in this earth with sin abounding, you're going to have needs. But I'm El Shaddai, and I'm all sufficient. I'm all bountiful. And if you'll receive me, I'll be your dad. I'll be your friend. I'll be your supplier. Come to him now. Receive him by saying, Jesus, I receive you as my Lord, and I repent of my sins. Thank you for writing my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. See, it's easy. It's not hard. It's not hard. And now I want you to trust him. Get up every day and say that. Say it as we go out tonight. Lord, you are my shepherd. I will always have more than enough. Amen? Amen. Trust God. He's got you covered.
Well, we'd like to thank you for joining us today. Thanks to those who give generously to this ministry. It's because of you that makes this ministry possible. You can click the link below in the description box to give now or visit soulharvestwc.org/podcast for more information. If you've enjoyed this podcast, you can subscribe. You could also share with your friends. Click the share button, take a screenshot, and also share in your social media stories and tag us at SoulHarvestWC. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.